Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, my very good friends. Andy Murray here for What Culture, accompanied by Adam Wilborn from What Culture. We're going to run through some observations that we had, things we learned attending WrestleMania 40 Live. Very privileged to be here in Philadelphia for the big event and everything surrounded it. We thought we'd share some of our experiences and all of that other good stuff. So we're going to start this one off with the first entry, which I guess technically would be number 10.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the two-night format, right? Because while this is nothing new, they've been doing it for 5 years. For me, this was the first time I have been in the building for two nights. The last Mania I was at was WrestleMania 35,
of course,
which was the tipping point, the eight-hour show, pretty much. And what I learned, the first thing, was that this is the way.
Absolutely.
This is the way. Whereas I was kind of tired and grumpy towards the end, not even towards the end, like halfway through WrestleMania 35 after Cody and Bryan. Here, it's much easier to just sustain your energy levels, stay invested, stay focused, really concentrate on the full breadth of the experience without getting lost in your own head about, I'm tired, I need a pee. When it's a shorter night, it's a really simple thing. It's a change I wish they'd made many moons ago, but this is the way. It's perfect.
Yes, and I think they have struggled in recent years in terms of like night one being better than night two, or night two not living up to expectations after they were set so high by night one. Night one maybe not as good as night two this year, but I enjoyed both nights so much. And you're right, I mean, you couldn't have done what they did for the main events of both nights had it been a single night. People would have frozen if you'd have combined those two nights. And I think night one went slightly over 4 hours. But it was all the bloodline shenanigans, and you were kind of all right with that. But yeah, cramming all this into one, that would have been insane. And I also want to add to that that I'm glad they don't put matches on the kickoff. They just have two hours of, you know, if you're watching at home, it's Punk, it's Big E, it's the panel, you know, Wade Barrett, etc., previewing the whole show and bringing you elements of backstage stuff, etc., etc. But I think there's a real easy way to burn out fans on this weekend in particular, because they'll have gone to big, even if they haven't gone to the other indie shows and Ring of Honor and things like that. SmackDown's a thing, you know, NXT's on Saturday morning. There's a lot of wrestling going on, and I think people just want the big matches that they've come to see. I think the two-night formula is absolutely perfect, and I think you're right. I think they're kicking themselves probably that they didn't do this earlier. Moving on to, well, I suppose, entry number nine. One of the first things that really surprised me attending this year's WrestleMania, I probably think it shouldn't have, is that Mammy's always on top. What I mean by that is I anticipated far more fan support for Becky Lynch dethroning Rhea Ripley than what we got, which was people just love Rhea Ripley. I know she's done heelish things and she's taunted Becky's daughter and things like that, but she is phenomenally talented. And the moment we got the reactions for that, I think you and I both thought, well, there's no way they're switching the titles if they've got any sense here, because Rhea Ripley has so much further to go with this championship, because the fans have not lost interest in her whatsoever, and they were ecstatic when she retained to open night one.
They were. Like, it was a real case of actually me being a bit surprised at Becky's reactions throughout the match.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, babyface coming into the contest, she's going to be super over, everyone's going to be behind her, she's just released her book, all of that stuff. No, Rhea Ripley is so awesome that she had the majority of the people in the building, from where we were sat, at least, cheering for her and rooting for her. So, yeah, really interesting dynamic with these two, and a hell of a way to open the show.
Absolutely.
Right, my second kind of observation-y thing I learned, whatever. I'm going to talk about Bayley versus Io Sky here a little bit. I already mentioned this on the star ratings video, if you've seen that. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? But this was an example of a match that, for me, I think I'm going to enjoy it more watching on the small screen than I did in the big theater when I was there in the building. What I mean by that is that I think in that stadium, where it's so vast and so huge and there's so much crazy things going on around you, it's very easy for the intricate moments of battle to be lost and for them to not quite land as they would at home. Particularly when you're watching in the building and you don't get all the noises and everything from the ring and the thumps and the slaps and the crashes and the bangs, you do lose a little thing. And I think that was the case with this match, which I still thought was great, by the way. But in general, maybe this environment, well, definitely this environment, is more suited to the fireworks than the careful, intricate work.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, Sid said something similar with regards to them trying to weaken Seth Rollins in the main event of night one. It just doesn't really translate to the back row, whereas you compare it to something like Sami Zayn that we'll get onto a little while later. It may have seemed rather dramatic, his thrashing around, if you're watching on telly, but in the arena, you have to project it right to that back row, and I think that really came across. And yeah, sometimes it's easier to just, instead of focusing in on I'm working over a body part, if that's not going to factor in too much into the finish, then maybe just cut that out and just go for, like you say, bigger moves or more eye-catching stuff.
But like the majority of the people who will watch this show will be doing so on a small screen. Mm. And look, I actually cannot wait to rewatch this match because I think it's going to take my opinion of it already being great and take it up another level.
From bombs to cannons. The prime cannon, Logan Paul, Adam, point from me. Logan Paul is despised.
Some guy behind us really despised this guy.
Really hated him.
In the best...
What happened?
Best possible way. He knows how to get that heat from looking at the smuggest bell end in the arena after buckshotting two guys who've just been kicking his ass the entire time to getting this YouTuber in a prime outfit to save him from getting his head punted off. I just think he's one of the best heels in the business and has been for quite some time. You know, the Prime sponsorship actually wasn't that bad when it comes to the ring thing.
It really wasn't.
And, you know, that's good because he doesn't need any more heat. There were chants for Gatorade and just good old-fashioned H2O because people hate Logan Paul and Prime so much.
I think they were actually calling for the return of Ron Waterman with that one.
But the thing is, it's not go-away heat, and that's the key differential here, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah.
That people love to hate him, and they probably do hate elements of him in real life, but he just gets it, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's this thing about Logan Paul is that, in real life, he's probably a bit of a prick. Look, it doesn't take more than a quick Google search to reveal some shady doings he's had. But he understands that and he leans into it.
And he loves this. I saw footage of him watching the main event and just popping like the rest of us were.
He is very effective at leveraging that reputation into an incredible pro wrestling persona. He's great at this. He's really great at this.
Shotgun being the YouTuber in the prime bottle at next year's Mania, by the way.
Oh, man, at least I'll know who you are. Yeah. Up next.
Well, you know what this means.
The Dead Man. This entry is about the arena lights, right? This is a recurring problem, and I don't know why it keeps happening. Because, night one, there was no problems whatsoever.
No,
nothing.
You're
everything
right,
was perfect. The lighting in the arena, everything looked huge, spectacular, and more importantly, nothing was shining in people's faces for prolonged periods and preventing them from being able to actually watch the action. They changed something on night two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but they did.
It must have been someone saying we can't really see how big this crowd is on the wide shots.
Maybe something like that. But what they did was they started shining these super bright spotlights on the upper tiers to the extent that at various points in the show, most notably during AJ Styles versus LA Knight and the Final Testament versus the Pride, you could you if you were affected by this, you couldn't really watch it. I put my baseball cap on at one point and I had to hunch my finger down just to, you know, just to cut it out of there. It got turned the lights off and we can see and various other chants throughout. And look, this is not the first time this has happened. Michael Hamlet of this culture, of this culture, of this parish, WrestleMania 35, he had such a terrible light experience. He wrote to them, and they made good on it. But as a result of all of this, it was a real pain in the ass for a period of time. I did enjoy, there was a moment where after forever, they turned the lights off, and they were off for about 10 minutes. And then maybe for like 2 seconds, they turned them back on. Everyone went, boo! And then a moment later, they went off again. Ray! Clearly someone having a bit of fun.
I think Sid just nailed this. Michael Sidgwick has a conspiracy theory that I'm fully subscribed to on this. Was it called PSYOP?
PSYOP.
It was during the particularly the Logan Paul, the AJ Styles LA Naira match aside, they really did this during that Pride Final Testament match. And the moment people were pissed off, they were distracted with all the light stuff, and it was just, you know, taken away from the match and what have you. And then, coincidence, maybe not, they turned the lights off the moment that Bubba Ray Dudley decided, nah, I'm putting the glasses on. And it got, if you watch on telly, it got a huge pop. A, it's Bubba Ray Dudley in Philadelphia, ECW, I know.
Yeah.
But also, the lights went off at that exact moment, mm-hmm. and they turned them back on when it looked like maybe Final Testament might just get back into it. It got a huge boo, another huge pop. They might just start leaning into this and using it as part of their crowd control. I don't know.
I really hope they don't.
But yeah, look, it's WrestleMania. We know. And if you want to shine the lights on the crowd, do it in between the matches and do a big, you know,
panorama.
Drone shot. Yeah.
Tony Drone, get him involved.
WWE, we assume it's completely sold out and you can just think of a number if you want to.
Yeah, we know you're the biggest fan in the universe. We know you're Marvel. It's cool.
Yes.
It's fine. Anyway.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Let's talk Sami Zayn. Another hot take from me.
Good, IMO.
He's the best, one of the best underdogs ever, in my opinion. Because I'll be honest, I went into that Gunther match the weeks leading up to it going, it'll be a great match. Obviously, it's Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Maybe I'd rather it was Chad Gable, I don't know. And yeah, they'll do a fun little story of we're in Philadelphia, Chad Gable's doing the Gunther, doing the Rocky thing with Sami Zayn. And then he was just brilliant. And I mean, he beat Gunther.
Yeah.
He beat Gunther, and not a single person have I seen say, is that the person we should have sacrificed this record-breaking title, you know, record-setting title reign for?
Yeah, exactly.
He's just a fantastic underdog. And what a rehabilitation of this man's image. It was never bad because of him prior to this, but he's had two career-defining WrestleMania moments in the last couple of years, and I'm just so happy for him. And he plays this role so well, and it, you know, the family stuff, the Gunther taunting Mrs. Sami Zayn, all that. It's my favourite match of the weekend in terms of work rate.
Yeah, and the most impressive thing for me about Sami Zayn is that he did it all those years ago behind a mask of a character that didn't really speak beyond the odd ole, in smaller rooms for smaller companies. And he comes to WWE, takes the mask off, he learns how to talk. He goes to NXT, does it in a similarly small room, the Performance Center, at Full Sail University. And he comes on the main roster. This guy can do it in the basketball arenas. And then he comes to WrestleMania and he can do it in the biggest stadiums in pro wrestling. It's extremely impressive. His trajectory has been extremely rewarding to follow.
He's arguably the reason why the Bloodline thing has worked for so long.
Exactly. With the rejuvenation of that storyline when he was involved in it last year and going into 2022 as well. Yeah, he is absolute god of professional wrestling, quite frankly. And at this time in his career, when physically he's maybe not able to take some of the stuff that he used to be able to, an incredible example of aging gracefully. Not to say that Sami Zayn's old, but if you watch the way he's adapted, it's unbelievable. And yet, through all of this, he remains just an amazing underdog.
The oosiest underdog of all.
Of all time. Let's move on to our next point here. I'm going to talk about the power of the opener a little bit.
Yes.
Right? Night one, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley. Really good match. Yeah. Really, really good match. Credit to Becky for performing to that high level. Well, sick. She had the flu, she had the temperature. All of that stuff. Night two, in my opinion, was a cut above.
Yeah.
And not just the quality or whatever, that you can debate that until the cows come home. But just pacing, man.
Yeah.
Just how this whole package was paced and sequenced really just gets the adrenaline pumping straight away, right? It's not just Drew and Seth the Chef going out there and cooking up an almighty finisher shootout. And just this relentless bomb, 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 firework, 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 someone's won. Drew doing character stuff, texting, tweeting while he's wrestling, for goodness sake. Not just all of that stuff, but then seeing straight into some beef with CM Punk and getting the pop of Punk ripping off the arm brace and knocking Drew down, and then the cash in from Damian Priest. It was just a perfect knockdown sequence. It was like a combination of punches in a boxing fight. Finishing in a knockout blow. This is how you start a show. Obviously, they started the show with Stephanie McMahon, but in the ring,
yes,
in the ring, this is how you start the show. This is how you hook people. This is how you get them buzzing from the very first minute. I thought that this was a masterclass of pro wrestling booking.
And the entrances too, it all just built perfectly. You're right, I think I was anticipating a Drew win. I was anticipating a good match, but it was not gonna be, I think I'm going to watch this ahead of watching Sami Gunther when I get home. I want to know what was being said by Punk on commentary. I want to know what was being said when Drew and Punk are going back and forth and he's rubbing it in his face. This is how you do a WrestleMania opener. Absolutely. It's the blueprint, you're right, going forward for this. Moving into our final 3 points. Jade Cargill's aura is undeniable. You already knew this if you've just watched her appearance, obviously, at the Royal Rumble or her sporadic appearances on TV. But in the arena, and she doesn't even really need to do much to project that to it. You know, the moment her and Bianca and Naomi made that entrance, you couldn't take your eyes off her. She is, I know obviously she's done some great stuff to establish herself in AEW. She is going to be a mega star within WWE. And I think we have to admit that it's probably the right call that WWE held off on bringing her in properly after the Royal Rumble, because it felt so special to be in attendance for a Jade Cargill match. And all she really did was chuck her opponents about a bit, who'd already been beaten up by Bianca and Naomi, and hit the Jaded. But yeah, credit to Damage Control, obviously, for making her look so brilliant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jade Cargill is, hot take, one to watch in 2024.
I agree on every single count. It goes to show that when it comes to these stadiums, aura is king. And there are very few people who can match Jade Cargill for aura. One of them is this guy. The final boss in version 10. 99% complete. Flaming Brahma Bull, lightning, all of that. Look, this is really basic. I don't care. The Rock still got it, man. The Rock still got it. Yes, if you want to be pedantic, you can sit here and point to where his legs wobbled at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can go, he hits the ropes, he's not as quick as he used to be. Yeah, he's 50, mate. Of course he doesn't. It doesn't matter. This guy worked a style of match on night one that I should hate,
yeah.
That I am just calibrated to not enjoying, walking around the building, just doing stuff, and then coming back in and saving all the big dramatic moments for like the final 5-10 minutes, which were absolutely euphoric, admittedly. But no, enthralled throughout. My favorite WrestleMania entrance of all time.
Yep.
Favorite. You can't argue with the word favorite. and throughout the whole thing, he doesn't just fill the building, and it's a building that holds tens of thousands of people. He fills the stratosphere up with his sheer presence. The guy's really, look, The Rock is a ridiculous human being. I don't believe that he wakes up. What's his morning routine? I wake up at 2 a.m. and I eat 50 chicken hearts and then I work out for 24 hours straight. That's not how he speaks either. It doesn't matter. Yep. Look, The Rock is still a viable, big time, all time guy at the headlining level in pro wrestling. And I want to see more. I want to see more.
You are preaching to the choir here. My favorite ever. I feel just so happy with what we've seen from him from the moment it looked like he was going to ruin a WrestleMania 40's main event. But the greatest pivot of all time, in my opinion, in wrestling, with what they've done with him and Cody, and trust me, we'll get onto Cody in just a second.
Cool.
But yeah, I haven't even wrestled in what, 10 years?
10 years.
Let's go 45 minutes.
Amazing.
I know it was mainly walking and brawling and da-da-da-da-da, and he's in there with three other people, but look, I really, really hope this is, and it's not going to be, but I'm not just hoping for a Rock Roman at next year's WrestleMania. I want Rock Cody. I want more Rock matches. Rock Seth, let's have that. They teased it, of course.
Let's be honest.
He's the best. I know he's the Hollywood megastar. He's got all these other tequila business ventures, etc. Zoa Energy I've tasted this weekend. It's absolutely delicious. Not quite prime, but it is delicious. But he's the best, and I love this man. Speaking of men that I love, Cody Rhodes. He finishes the story, which is the most important thing from this weekend. If nothing else, we needed that, but we got it, and we got a brilliant weekend along with it. But when I say Cody is the man, what I mean by that is, obviously, he was always going to be pushed as the man by WWE, but how many times over the years, and it's a new era within WWE, but how many times have they said, this is the man, it happened with Roman Reigns on multiple occasions, and fans are like, yeah, he has got the attention of the wider wrestling fandom, the lapsed fans, whatever you want to call them. And I think the thing is, people hear me say this, and this is our final point of the things that we learned attending, and say, well, yeah, obviously Cody's the man. Did you not see the "we want Cody" thing? Right, this is the usual thing of social media interaction doesn't necessarily define fan interaction with wrestling fans. How many times have we seen something online that's been referenced on telly that people go, huh? Right? What I mean by that is, we were in attendance, and yes, 90% of that arena wanted Cody to finish the story, but there was some part of that audience that when we chanted, "we want Cody," or "let's go Cody," chanted, "let's go Roman." There were people in there, I met them across the weekend, who said, "hey, I'd be fine with Roman going a little bit longer." Not saying they have to beat Hogan's not real number one number, etc., but saying, I don't really mind if Cody loses again. There was people sat next to you who were chanting mm-hmm. for Roman.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I mean by this is, what I mean by what we learned from attending WrestleMania Live is, not a single person walking out of that arena on Sunday night was unhappy that Cody Rhodes is the new champion, and everyone is going to want to see what happens next with him and this title reign. And I think it's just so beneficial, not just for WWE, but for wrestling in general, for what this man has done over the last few years.
It's quite funny as well that in Cody Rhodes, WWE has found its new franchise player, its new John Cena, its new Hulk Hogan,
yes.
Its new Bruno. Why not? Let's go all the way back. It's found that guy, and it has come thanks to a victory over the biggest example of a failed attempt at that guy, Roman Reigns, and the many, many years we spent pushing against the tide as a baby faces. This is the guy. This is the video. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you enjoyed this one, check out this one. It's 40 fascinating facts from WrestleMania, including this year's event. It's a good video. You're going to love it, just like we love you.
See you soon.
Bye.